if we look at levels and high status, and high status, nearness to Allah, qurb with Allah, progress in levels, progress in spirituality, progress in ma'rifat, the nearness to Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has, for this azeem, for this great work, for this great achievement, has not just apportioned one specific path, but rather Allah ta'ala has given us various ibadat, various acts of worship in order to attain higher levels, stages, and His nearness. And one path, example, to attain nearness to Allah is an ajeeb and unique way. And this allows a person to get near to Allah. And it's not something that we can achieve. It's Allah Ta'ala's control. And Allah Ta'ala gives this. And that's the path of problems, difficulties, calamities, illness, and you can say negative circumstances. Now, outwardly, all of these things for an insan are very, you can say, troublesome for a person. Obviously, nobody likes to have issues and problems and worries. Rather, suddenly when a person thinks about such examples, then the mind thinks that, oh, I don't know, what sin have I committed, that the problems have come on me, Allah's azab is on me, Allah is unhappy with me, Allah is not pleased with me. And this comes in our hearts and in our minds when we have problems. Yes, it's true. This could be a reason. This could be a reason. But collectively or overall, generally speaking, if we see that good muttaqis, pious, upright people who are close to Allah, they also have difficulties, they also have calamities, they also have problems, they also have sorrows, ups and downs. What we realize is that in reality, this mu'amala is based on, this situation of negative experiences is based on Allah Ta'ala's hikmah, Allah's wisdom. If somebody gets problems, and if he thinks that, yes, it's due to my deeds, it could be deserved duties done, bad actions, sins, immoral actions, disobedience to Allah, and problems come to him. But it could also come to a person who is muttaqi, abid, worshipper, pious person, can have problems. So in both examples, the specific condition of problems for both is a rahmah of Allah. Say subhanallah, subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't want to give distress to His servant. He doesn't want to put a person into difficulty. Allah ta'ala doesn't want to do this. The objective is one. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us. Allah has given us iman. And so Allah for us has selected a place. And Allah ta'ala wants to take us and steer us to that place. And that place is called Jannah, paradise. Allah Ta'ala says, come into Jannah somehow through salah, fasting, hajj, zakat. If not through these, then go into problems. Allah says, I'll surround you with problems, but come to paradise. Eventually, Allah is so Rahim, Kareem. So this path Allah Ta'ala has given to us. And we get distressed very quickly. May Allah Ta'ala forgive. When a problem comes, if a muttaqi, a pious, a good person has a problem, then for him it becomes a big difficulty, becomes a hazard. And if problems come to a sinner, then already he's on the dark path. Then he says, okay, I've been grabbed now. I've been caught out. And if a good person, an upright person, if he has difficulties, somebody prays salah, who's a muttaqi, fearful of Allah, who follows the deen, or he's trying to follow the deen, then straight away shaitan instills whispers into his heart. That's it. That you are pious, you are good, and now problems have come to you, difficulties have come to you. What's the benefit? What? How did this occur? Why has it happened? And dirty thoughts or bad thoughts or negative thoughts or unhelpful thoughts are generated by shaitan. And then he gets weak in his salah, in his ibadat, in his worship, to this extent that many people, that they have waswasa and whispering and bad thoughts in their ears, in their hearts, in their minds. Now, as I was saying, that who creates all circumstances? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah. And this is up to Allah what He does. Not a leaf, not even a leaf can shake without Allah's permission. No one can move a finger without Allah's permission, and we cannot breathe in or out without Allah's permission. When we breathe in, then Allah Ta'ala says that an angel asks permission. Allah, shall I allow him to breathe out? When we breathe out, the angel says, Allah, shall we let, will he breathe in? Allah says, yes, let him breathe in. So Allah Ta'ala's got the rope, and we are just like, you know, puppets. You know, you have the puppet show, and behind it's being controlled, pulled by the rope and the strings, and we are puppets, and we think we're doing everything, we are achieving, we're capable, I'll get up in the morning, I will do this, I've had this many vitamins, and I'm strong. No, 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 this is a drama. All of the creation, all movement, all everything that flutters and moves and shakes and whatever vibrates is with the permission of Allah. Nothing can move without Allah's permission. So if difficulty comes, who's giving the difficulty? Allah is giving the difficulty. If Allah is giving the difficulty, then think, why did Allah give this to me? What's the reason? Then we can understand the reason. That Allah Ta'ala, whether He gives happiness or distress, the objective is come to me, Allah Ta'ala says, become mine. Become mine, come qareeb to me, come close to me. Allah says, this is what I want to achieve by giving you this difficulty. Now we need to think that, brothers, that, and we, all of us are involved in this, we are all included. Which individual is there who doesn't have a problem, doesn't have a difficulty, doesn't have distress, doesn't have worries or problems or issues, hurdles in life? And Allah said that everyone's got this. Because every moment Allah Ta'ala wants to draw His servant nearer to Him. Allah wants to elevate the status of His servant every second. Allah says, I don't want you to waste a second or a breath in your life that you don't get nearer to me. So, for example, that's how Allah Ta'ala has, you can say, manufactured this factory of distress. Somebody will come close to me, someone's wife passes away, someone's child passes away, someone's youth, a child in youth passes away, somebody has an accident or a calamity or something happens. For example, we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, the day after. Things happen every day. And straight away we start asking ourselves and running towards our actions. Straight away stop there and say, no, my Rabb, you have given this to me. What's the reason for giving this to me? Speak to Allah. Speak to Allah. Allah Ta'ala does business with His servants. Allah's business is very profitable, my brothers. Very beneficial. We also do business. We want profit. We want to sell stock and get more profit. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has an ajeeb tijarat, business with His servant. That when He takes the happiness away from His servant, Allah takes things away from His servant. And Allah is the one who gave, subhanallah. So then what's the system here? What's the system? Who has given this to us, my brothers? Allah. Who's given us mouths? Who has given us our hands? Who's given us wife? Who's given us our children? Allah. Allah all the time, in every instance. So if Allah is the one who gives, and after giving, what is the nizam, the system? Allah Ta'ala gives us the kingdom as well in which to enjoy. Allah Ta'ala has allotted us a kingdom. Ownership, Allah says, I give you a shop. For example, I've got a house. Allah says, I give you a house. We all live in there. And we're not living there. Allah says, no, this is yours. Now you can put tenants in there or do what you want. But this is your house. Someone gives you a house. So ownership. So our body, our life is our malkiyat. These teeth Allah has given us, hand, feet, go. Utilize them the way you want. Because these are owned by you. But after giving these possessions, Allah Ta'ala says, do you want to do business with me? Should we do a transaction? Allah says, I want to buy something from you. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. So first Allah gives ownership. It's become us. Allah says, do you want to sell this? Do you want to sell this child to me? Subhanallah. Do you want to sign this child to me? Youth. Beautiful. Do you want to do some business? Should we do a deal? Allah Ta'ala says, right. Isn't it Allah's? It's not ours. What power do we have? But it's become our ownership. Allah Ta'ala is doing a deal with us. Say subhanallah, subhanallah. And we, oh, I'm finished and this has happened. No, Allah Ta'ala is doing transactions with us. The shop is running nice. Allah Ta'ala says, the shop's running well. Then Allah says, do you want to do a transaction to me on this shop? Give this shop to me. And you come down to the ground and become a person who's owes people debts. And then we get scared. No, no, this will become difficult for me. How will I? I'll be hungry, thirsty, I'll have loss. How can I give this shop to Allah? But those who give away to Allah, Allah says, it's gone. Allah, yes, we'll do the transaction with you. So when that person does a transaction with Allah, then Allah says, okay, you've done business with me. So what I'll do now, the profit of my business, I'll give you so much that you cannot imagine. I'll give you so much. Because you are doing a transaction with Allah. So the tajir, the businessman, his situation is what? That buy cheap and sell it for more. So this is what we should want to do. Okay, this is a good transaction. Allah Ta'ala is making this deal with me that the people who are the walis of Allah, they understand that, oh, this is a transaction that Allah Ta'ala is doing a deal with me, that my child is not passing away. This is a business, a deal with Allah. That if a child hasn't died, he's transferred to the hereafter. He had to go tomorrow or some years after. I'm giving an example that we think it's a loss, it's a tragedy, we've lost something. But Allah Ta'ala says that you've done a deal with me, not a deal, but a transaction with me. So some business there. So if we understand, the very valuable reward and return, we'll get a massive return, that we'll get progression in levels, spiritual levels, darajat and marifat and ninis to Allah and love of Allah. Allah gives so much. The more beloved an item is to us in this world and Allah Ta'ala takes it from us, then the higher levels we get. Just a few days ago, the veils will be removed. Allah Ta'ala says that here, it's just a few days and you'll get the reward. Allah, if you'd taken everything from me, it would have been better. Why did you leave things for me to enjoy the world? I've got so much reward. Those same children, offspring, insan, they will be stood in front of him that, here, take this reward in the hereafter. This was the sacrifice that was given in the world and this is the reward that you get. So what do we do when we have a loss, difficulties, problems, crying, lamenting, shrieking, and jumping up and down, running left and right? Oh, I'm lost now, I've lost out, and I haven't got anything to my name. This is not transaction with Allah. So there are two positions. Either we do proper business with Allah when things are happening, calamities, accidents, tests with the wife, the wife's got problems, children, issues, and worries, and many concerns, problems at home, family, outside, business. When this happens, when a person gets to this position, then he should say that, how do I make this a transaction that can be beneficial for me as a transaction for the hereafter? That if I wasted crying, beating my chest, taking revenge, happened due to him, he did wrong, he shouldn't have done this, it was for this reason, this when, and if we try to make everything systematic, we'll waste our time. So what should we do? I'll tell you the tarqib, the method, that when we're in loss and we've got problems, whenever difficulties come, then how can the difficulties become a bargain transaction for us for the hereafter? Yes, even, remember this, even if a person is disobedient, he's a sinner, even he has problems. Even he has difficulties. Allah Ta'ala will do a deal with that person as well on this basis. And for that person as well is a big karam, big mercy. So what should a person do when many problems confront us, difficulties confront us? How do we make this a transaction to benefit us in the hereafter? Allah said in the Quran, "Istainu bi sabri wa salah." Say Subhanallah. This is the Quran prescribing to us. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu istainu bisabri wassalah. Inna Allaha ma'as sabirin. Allahu Akbar. What a great point here. Allah says, whenever difficulties befall you, come to you, surround you, I'm doing a transaction with you, O foolish person. Consider this is a transaction. Don't fear. Don't wilt. Don't shake. Don't judder. Be ready. Be ready, be prepared. How will you understand this as a ni'mah of you? What will happen to you? Shaitan will whisper to you in your ears, make you a rebel. How will you be successful for this? Allah Ta'ala says, do one action, do two actions. Number one, istainu, request help. From what? From sabr, through sabr, via sabr. Istainu, take hold of sabr. Yes? What is this? The first point. And when you exercise sabr, and you've demonstrated sabr on your problems, calamities, issues, and worries that are given to Allah says, and you've grabbed hold of sabr. Inna Allaha ma'as sabirin, Allah says. Ma'as sabirin. Allah says, big reward when you come to this level station. Then the things I've taken away from you, your worldly things, the reward I will give you in return is I will become yours. Allah Ta'ala says, I'll become close to you. Do you want this? Why do we pray salah, my friends? Why do we do hajjas in Ramadan? Why do we make effort? Because we want Allah to become ours, isn't it? So this is the path Allah has given to us, and this comes in a person's life. So it's been explained here, when difficulties come, then this is a great path, that even a needle, if it pricks us, what should we do? Do sabr. If we do sabr, then Allah says, see my ajr that I will give to you. So here, big problems come, issues come, we go home, problems, go to the workplace, problems in the dunya, problems, ups and downs are always there. But we are so foolish that we don't exercise sabr. We don't demonstrate sabr. If only we understood this ibadah. So the first thing that we need to do is, when it's Fajr Adhan, what do? Pray Salah. Dhuhr Adhan, we pray Dhuhr Salah. We know. So when a problem comes, difficulty, issues come in life, what do we do? Exercise sabr. Allah says, Inna Allaha ma'as sabirin. Do you understand the problem? You understand the point, sorry. So tell me, what is sabr now? That Allah Ta'ala is defining here, because we need to know what is sabr, isn't it? Allah saying that do sabr. We say, have patience. How do I do sabr? How do I implement sabr? What is sabr? If I know what is sabr, then I can implement it. I can physically implement it, isn't it? So what is sabr, my friends? We call this patience, isn't it? So the meaning of sabr is that when a person has a problem, difficulty, worries, whatever issues come around in his life, then how do we do sabr? Whether a person is a fasiq, evildoer, sinner, has made mistakes, Allah has grabbed him, given him adab. Yes, so Allah Ta'ala is giving him adab in punishment, so he can come out of that predicament by doing sabr. Yeah, so even he can come out of the adab, subhanAllah, if he implements sabr. And if it's a pious person who's got problems, even then what should he do? Sabr. And his levels will increase even more. So what is sabr? Sabr, my friends, is not something that we're not aware of, that the servant of Allah should consider to himself, that I am going to assign myself fully to Allah. I'm going to hand myself over to Allah. Ruju' ila Allah. Yes, I will submit myself totally to Allah. Whenever a problem, issue, difficulty comes, before taking anyone's assistance, before taking treatment, going to someone for help, taking the means of someone's assistance, first and foremost, submit wholly to Allah, 100%. And this is sabr. This is sabr. Whoever does this, that whenever problem comes to me, problem, child, wife, awlad, whatever, whichever difficulty comes, then first action I need to do is do tawbah and say, Allah, I do tawbah and my life totally I hand over to you. I want to live my life in accordance to your ahkams. And when a person makes this submission, Allah says, as soon as you submit to me, assign yourself to me, hand yourself over to me, turn back to me, even if you are fasiq, the worst of fasiq, gunegar, sinner, and you're evil doer. But when you turn to me, Allah says, suddenly Allah Ta'ala says that I will elevate your rank, your status, your level. Your nearness to me will increase, become stronger. Allah says, I'll join you to me. I'll make you my wali, my friend, my dost. Subhanallah. So now, when problems, difficulties that were there before, tell me, were they wrong? No. This is Allah's hikmah. So my friends, if we do sabr and we bring the cure upon us, that Allah Ta'ala has given to us the cure, the methodology, then Allah's rahmah will come. And whenever you see a person's got difficulties, or something's happened to me, jinnat have come, or ghosts, no power of the world is stronger than Allah. Nothing is bigger than Allah. Allah is the biggest and the greatest. So should we not turn to Allah? Ajib example I give to you. A dog. Let's take a dog. A wali Allah asks his murid that this dog, he asks his student, and there's a dog, and you're walking, and that dog starts running after you to bite you. What will you do? What do you say? Hazrat, I'll hit that dog. I'll try to stop it. He says, even then the dog won't stop, and it will open its mouth and bark behind you. What will you do then? You say, I'll try and stop it. Yes, it's good. The walis of Allah give us good lessons. He says, foolish person. You'll try and do this, then why don't you do this? That the malik of the dog, the owner, just turn to him and he will whistle to that dog and call him back. So the Shaykh said, whenever a problem, a difficulty comes to you, what do you try to do? Ruju' ila Allah, turn to Allah, the master. And Allah will take that problem a distant way away from you, a distant way, very far from you. So the problem is here, we don't realize Allah is the malik. Allah is the malik and the khaliq, and he sent us the problem. So rather than play games and run for the solutions, we should turn to Allah. But we don't turn to Allah. We don't turn to our malik. And when we have issues, problems, we're full of sin in our life, we'll carry on crying, screaming, shaking, trembling. But what we don't do is turn to Allah, ruju'. And Allah says that we should make all of the problems ni'mas and rewards. I remember an event, as a Shaykh Sakti rahmatullah alayhi, he was speaking, great wali of Allah, was speaking one day. He was giving a lecture. And whilst he was giving the lecture, that the people of old at that time, in that generation, mashallah, there were good people. The king would come and sit, the wazir, the minister, governors. Who's this darvish? Who's this person? Yes, let's listen, sit and listen. This was a good generation. So there was a zalim, oppressor type king, and he was rich and powerful. And he said, what's going on here? They said, there's a fakir here, wali, and he's giving a lecture. He said, which fakir is this in my sultanate, in my kingdom? He said, this is Sheikh Sakti Rahmatullah Alayhi. Sakti Rahmatullah. He said, is it? Okay, let's see what he's saying. What's he talking about? So he went and joined into that gathering, the king. And there you can realize that who's the wazir and who's the fakir and who's noble and who's powerful. And he didn't pay attention. And it was a good subject that he was speaking about, the muhabbat, the love of Allah. And just like the walis of Allah speak about the love of Allah, the nearness to Allah. So the king was listening carefully, and it had an effect on him. The words of Hazrat Shaykh Sakhti, and when the lecture finished, the king said, Hazrat, you don't know me, but I have come to your gathering, and I've got a desire now, after listening to you, that how can I come onto the path of guidance? How can I get close to Allah? Allah Akbar. And Shaykh said, very easy. He said, how? Tell me, explain to me, guide me. He said that your zahir, your external life, control it with the external, the apparent sharia principles. What are they? 5 things. Salah, fasting, hajj, zakat, belief. These are the things, aren't they? And so your external life, your apparent life, control it with the external sharia principles, and this won't give you total success until you don't give emphasis on the second part. He said, what's that? He said, your batin, your inner state, your inner self, your batin, you need to control that with the batini sharia, the batini, the inner laws and principles of the soul and the heart. And he said, what will be the result? He said, that's how you will succeed. And he said, how? He said that apart from Allah, whatever is inside you, when that disappears, all your diseases, then Allah will come into your heart. He said, I've understood that this is the batin, that how does a person succeed? Through cleaning the batin. He departed the king. Allahu Akbar is written, recorded after some time, a voice came from the heavens. Allah Ta'ala announced the angels that there's my friend, he has passed away, and you must lead his Salatul Janazah. And Shaykh Sakhti rahmatullah also heard this, they went looking, searching, who is the Wali of Allah who's passed away, that such an announcement has come from the heavens, from the skies. And everyone started to look and seek. And everyone went and they traveled towards where the announcement came from. They saw that there was a big house like a mansion. And they saw the same king who became a friend of Allah, and he reached the maqam. So my friends, that we read these things, but we put the veils in our hearts. In our own selves, we put the veils. And so many veils are in front of us now that we don't remove the veils to get close to Allah. Allah has opened the path for us. That if we don't remove all hurdles between us and Allah, and don't put Allah, just Allah, into our heart, if we don't remove all the attractions except for Allah from our heart, we cannot succeed. A person living in the world, dunya, he should remove all of the love and attraction and the connections of the dunya apart from Allah, from his heart. He's walking around and living in the world, eating, drinking. Yes, he has to do that. But inside is so clean and pure that apart from Allah, you cannot see the reflection of anything else apart from the deen from inside him. It's not difficult. Allah has prepared this, like the example I gave to you, sabr. Sabr. So this is the ibadah of the batin. Just like we have external ibadah, fasting, hajj, zakat, salah. So internally we have shukr, humbleness, sincerity, humility, and being sincere. All of these are ibadah of the soul, of the inner self. And just like the example of today, which is sabr. So if we see that dahiri, we can do many ibadah. But if inside we are not attached to Allah, and we still have the desires and the evil desires and the base desires and the low desires and love for dunya, attraction just for dunya, then Allah cannot come into our hearts. We cannot attain the love and the connection with Allah. So we have to do this. So when an insan has problems and difficulties, then this is a great method, and Allah Ta'ala makes it a reward. When a person turns to Allah, focuses on Allah, submits to Allah, and says, Allah, that I turn to you, I submit to you, everything is from you. You have given me all of these issues and problems. So my brothers, this is tazkiyah that Allah Ta'ala mentions in the Quran, the tariqah. On every page Allah Ta'ala has mentioned this, prescribed this. Turn to me, come to me, ask from me, come towards me, recognize your Lord, recognize your Khaliq, your Creator. All of this in the world is temporary. Nothing in our heart should be there which is not connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says that take all of the attractions of dunya out of your heart. Don't be afraid that your needs will not be fulfilled. Allah says, I will fulfill your needs in the world. I will. So take the love of the world out of your heart. Take the love of dunya out of your heart and turn to me, Allah says. Turn to me. And remember, my friends, because this is a majlis of tazkiyah, our main maqsad of doing dhikr. Do you understand what I'm saying? Our main objective of doing dhikr is what? That in our hearts, Allah Ta'ala's love should overwhelm our hearts. Like Allah says in the Quran, the sign of the people of Iman, ashadda. Allah's love, they are immersed and they are strong, mazboot, with the love of Allah. The love of Allah is ingrained in their hearts, because that's the person who has iman, true iman. These are the signs of the people of iman. Allah says, this is the sign. And what is that sign? Hubba lillah, the love for Allah. They are immersed and strong with the love of Allah. Nothing of the dunya can take them away from the love of Allah. They don't worry about who's coming or who's going. They just have one fear, one grief, that Allah's love needs to come into their hearts. In every condition, if Allah gives, they're happy. If Allah doesn't give, they're happy. If they're ill, they're happy. If they're healthy, they're happy. If they're wealthy, they're happy. If they're poor, they're happy. So dhikr of Allah that the Sufi Hazrat do, the reason for doing dhikr, the objective of doing dhikr is none other. Allah Ta'ala says that to attain my love, I've given you dhikr. Dhikr, I've given you my remembrance. This is a path. And this is the asal path, Allah Ta'ala says. We should understand that we're doing dhikr. No. The maqsad, what's the objective? We should attain that. We need to question our hearts. That how much of Allah Ta'ala's love has come into our hearts? How much are we pure from the dunya? Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. If an individual does dhikr with this niyyah, with this intention, and every moment he thinks that why isn't Allah's love in me? How much muhabbat is coming to me? How much can I give to Allah for Allah Ta'ala's sake? For Allah's sake, what is it that I'm willing to give or not to give? I have to question myself. I have to reflect continually. So when this situation comes around, then will we feel grief when something is lost or goes down? No, we know that this is Allah Ta'ala's hikmah. And then inshallah, the Arif Billah people, the awliya Allah, they do work and effort on this maqam. When they get to this effort, when a problem comes to them, a difficulty comes to them, issues come to them, when tests come to them, subhanAllah, then they are not worried about the benefit of the... In the batin, they accept it. Zahiri, they may seem concerned, but within their hearts and soul, they are happy. They're content that subhanAllah, Allah subhanAllah's karam and mercy has come to me. Because every problem in Musaib brings a nur, brings a light. Within that, there's a nur. Remember this. Now, if that difficulty, if we have sabr on this, and we turn to Allah and submit to Allah, we leave haram totally, we go into Allah's remembrance, leave the ease and wrong actions. No, just you go into ibadah, do a bit of wazifa, and we want the problem to go. We go like this, don't we? With preconditions. Give me a wazifa so I can, my problems can go. Give me a recitation. Oh, servant of Allah, you are trying to take difficulties away. Don't take the difficulties away. Do shukr to Allah. Allah is showing us the path to get close to Him. SubhanAllah, Allah has given the path that come to me, turn to me. Turn back to me, I've given you the problem so you can ask from me, submit to me. Those disobediences you do, the bad actions you do, stop them and purify your eyes, your bodies. If after dhikr we get this destination, then we are very successful and dhakireen. If our heart is pure, but if it's not pure, dunya is in our heart, mal, money, love of the dunya, morning and night, we can carry on doing dhikr, but then we're used to doing dhikr, isn't it? Becomes a habit. There's no enjoyment of that dhikr then. So may Allah Ta'ala, let's do dua to Allah, let's pray to Allah that Ramadan is about to come, another great opportunity, days and nights about to come us, and the maqsad, the objective of that great month of Ramadan is the same, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, that this is such a great period of time, 30 days of struggle and striving and effort. Allah says, become mine, get close to me, that you should purify yourself inside. If you then start to see the true reflection of your in your batin, we are very valuable people, my friends. We are very valuable. Let's not sell ourselves for taka, for nothing. Allah is the one who will do business with us, deal with us, buy from us. So may Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq that we can do true dhikr, remember Allah in the morning and the evening, and always we try to attract Allah Ta'ala's love. Let's keep on reflecting and questioning our hearts. That Allah, we just want you, we want to attain your nearness. Our life is very short, very few breaths to our name. If we count our breaths, how many breaths are left, and we count our wealth, then we'll see so much difference that the breath will be less and we'll have more wealth than that. We have more goods than that in our home. We have more valuable decor and artifacts in our home, more than the number of breaths left in our lives. So should we not utilize our breaths? So let's look at what we are in generally and really. Let's look at our manzil, where we're going, our destination, our maqam, where are we going, and let's worry about the journey. Let's not worry about temporary world, just that we fasted and prayed salah and fasted in Ramadan. These are just minor things. Let's look at the manzil. The inside I should be changed and reformed. Inside I should be bowing to Allah, submitting to Allah, and our mu'amalat should be going close, taking us close to Allah, and nothing apart from Allah's love should remain in the heart. May Allah Ta'ala accept, and Allah Ta'ala will accept. So may Allah Ta'ala accept all of us, make us capable that before we pass away, our hearts, our batin, inner state and soul, we purify them so that Allah Ta'ala becomes pleased with us, and that's it. Recite Durood Sharif.